Yaakov Avinu seems to doubt Yosef a few times. And again, in this week's parasha, in Parashas Vayechi, in Perek Memches, right before Sheni, Yaakov Avinu, especially according to Chazal, is again doubting Yosef HaTzadik. Shteit in Pasuk, Vayar Yisrael Spenei Yosef, Yisrael saw the children of Yosef, Vayomer Mi'ela, and he said, who are these? He had been sitting with them for a while, sitting and learning with them on his lap. And all of a sudden he asks Mi'ela, who are these? Says Rashi. Vayar Yisrael Spenei Yosef, Bikesh Avarchem, Estalka Shechina Mimenu. Vayomer Mi'ela, according to the Medrash, because he saw Yeravam Ve'achav are going to come out from him. Mehechon yotzu elu sheinim ruin the bracha. Where did these come from that were not royal of bracha? Vayoyme Yosef eloviv bonayim. Yosef says to his father, "They're my sons. Asher nosan li Elohim bazeh." That Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me bazeh. Very, very strange word. Vayomar kochen no elai vavarachem. So Yaakov said to him, "Okay, now I'll bless them." Says Rashi, Bozeh. You know what he was worried about? And you know how Yosef appeased Yaakov Avinu? Herelo Shtar Erisin. He showed him the Shtar Kedushin, V'Shtar Ksuba, U'bikesh Yosef Rachna Al-Dovar V'Nochal of Ruach Kodesh. So for some reason, Yaakov Avinu suspects that these children are not legitimate children. That they're children that come from an illegitimate relationship. And so Yosef HaTzadik pulls out the Shtar Erisin and the Shtar Ksuba. So two tzarachims. Number one, what is Yaakov Avinu so concerned about? And number two, I want to be medayik and Rashi, Bezer Hashem will spend a lot of time on this diuk. Rashi is quoting a Medrash HaGadol. And the Medrash HaGadol has the words that Rashi has, and that is that he pulled out both the Shtar Erisin and the Shtar Ksuba. Both of them. Why not the Shtar Erisin? Why is that not enough? What's the Shtar Ksuba being Mosif? They're married. He's married to Asnas. So what's the Shtar Ksuba over here being Mosif in Rashi? And in the Medrash. Now on the first Tzarchim of what Yaakov Avinu is concerned about. Of course, we have to go back in Parshios. And let's go back in descending order. Let's go back to Parshios Vayigash. We all know the famous Medrash, Vayares HaAgolos, that Yaakov Avinu saw the Agolos, and those Agolos reminded him of Atechiyat Ruach Yaakov Avim. Yaakov Avinu says, wow, he remembers the last sugya that he had learned. In other words, he's still connected. But what people don't discuss is the next pasuk. Especially according to the way the Chassidish and Mahalach of the Besht, from the Zeinikol and Degel Machne Ephraim, in Perek Memhei, pasuk of Ches, last pasuk in Perek Memhei, Vayoyme Yisro Rav Od Yosef Ben Ichoy, Elcho Verena B'terem Momus. He says, Yosef is alive, but I want to see him before I die. Says the Degel Machne Ephraim, you know why he wants to see him before he dies? Because he doesn't believe it. He says he might remember his last sugya. His head might be there. But there are a lot of people in Mitzrayim who learn a shtickle Torah. There are a lot of people in university that do Jewish scholarship. But I want to see with my own eyes in his Teras HaChaim whether his Teras HaChaim is representative of that last sugya that we had learned. That's what Degel Machne Ephraim says. So once again, Yaakov Avinu is concerned about Yosef HaTzadik. Why? It's a davar pashut, on the simplest level. It's a davar pashut that he's concerned that ultimately, living in Mitzrayim, he's fallen. Of course, one could go back to what we had discussed in the past, in the previous parashios, and parashios Vayeshev and so on, that there's a fundamental machlokis between Yosef and his brothers. The brothers believe that Yosef is a moreid, Because the Masorah of the brothers were to be shepherds. And that Masorah comes the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu found, the way Avram found HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through his Bodidus. And Yosef HaTzadik is dreaming about economies. He's dreaming about being a cosmopolitan man. Yosef's name, as we've mentioned in the past, we mentioned this, right? The gematria of Yosef is Antiochus, the B'nai Yisrael points out. There's a Bechina in Yosef, that's the cosmopolitan component of Greece. But the gematria of Yosef HaTzadik is not Antiochus. But Yosef has to prove himself that it's possible to survive as a cosmopolitan person in Mitzrayim, despite the fact that that it's a makom that she tufei zima. I found later on, since we mentioned that Rabbi Yonah Sinebushitz kemat says the vart that we had said. Rabbi Yonah Sinebushitz in Parshas Vayeshev says that the brother on Rashi, that says that the brothers went liros es hatzon. So says Rabbi Yonah Sinebushitz, the brothers went the way the minog of Gedolei Yisrael, Manhige Yisrael, was always to be shepherds. The Manhige Yisrael were shepherds. Why? So what Rabbi Yonah Sinebushitz emphasizes in the Tferes Yonasim is that that's the way they exercise the Midas Harachamim, like David, the Midrashim of David HaMelech taking care of the sheep. But maybe we could add even more to what Rabbi Yonasan is saying, that was the whole Mesorah of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yosef HaTzadik goes with them sometimes, but there are other times he doesn't. He takes both Limudei Kodesh and Limudei Chol. He does both. So there's a part of Yosef HaTzadik that they feel has a bechina of rebellion. Baviv Shomar Es HaDavar. And Yaakov Avinu says, okay, we have to see. We have to see how this is going to pan out. I'm not sure how this is going to pan out. So therefore, every step of the way, when he sends back and he reminds him of the sugya, lav dafka, I want to see Erenu v'terem amos. I want to see him with my own eyes. And then, once again, even though Yaakov Avinu is proved, when he meets Yosef HaTzadik with the Kriya Shema v'chule, once again, in Parshas Vayechi, when the children are brought, Ephraim and Menashe are brought to him, so then he feels that there's something wrong. Clearly there's something mystical that's happening. And with that, he says, who are they? Mi Eile? And the answer is, Bozet, the Shtar Erisin, and the Shtar Ksuba. Maybe we could add even a little bit more. The whole marriage with Asnas doesn't seem to be Yosef's own choice. In Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Mem Hey, it's clear that Paro gives Asnas to Yosef for a wife. And there, it could very well be that what Yaakov Avinu is choshesh is that this is not a truly transcendental Jewish relationship, but it's a marriage of convenience. Vayiten lo as asnas paspat v'ferikon on l'isha. He gave it to him as a wife. So Yosef HaTzadik knows to survive, he needs to marry this woman. Unfortunately, people out of Yom HaZeh, they marry women for the wrong reasons, for money and so on, to connections with their father-in-law and so on. So that's the chash. There's a real chash over here. Adds the Sefer Shari Aaron on the Rashi in this week's Parsha. It's a beautiful Sefer. The Sefer Shari Aaron is a tremendous, tremendous malakit. There aren't many works that are as comprehensive as the Sefer Shari Aaron. It's a contemporary, someone who's living in Bnei Brak, about 20 volumes on Chumash Rashi. Fantastic week, malakit. He adds, it wasn't clear to me exactly who he was quoting from, but he hardly ever says anything on his own. He says, particularly Yaakov's chash was that the relationship between Yosef and Asnas was a Pilegesh relationship. That was the relationship. What's a Pilegesh relationship? So let's analyze what's behind the relationship of a Pilegesh. So we all know that the Rambam describes in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus that before Matan Torah, there was no concept of Kedushin. A man met a woman in the Shuk, and they got married. They simply got married by just bringing her into the house. They lived together, and whenever the convenience of the relationship fell apart, they separated. The Rambam says, after Matan Torah, we have the Yisod of Kiddushin and Chuppah. This is the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus. We know, according to many Mamorei Chazal, that the Avos kept Kol HaTorah Kula. The Hainu, the Avos themselves, were supposed to represent that level of Kedusha of Klal Yisrael of post-Matan Torah. So you know what the Chshash, in very precise terms, of Yaakov Avinu is? The Chshash is that Yosef HaTzadik might be doing things basically right, but is he living the life of a Jew after Matan Torah? Is the relationship with Asnas the relationship of after Matan Torah? Is it done b'kedushin b'chuppah? We'll have to understand the significance of that in a moment. Or is the relationship a practical one? Not asur, but a relationship of kol d'matan Torah, kol d'isha b'shuk, pragmatic one. Pragmatic could be for economic reasons, it could be for sexual reasons, whatever reason it might be, it's a pragmatic relationship. Antithetical to what Kedushin is all about. So this is the chshash of Yaakov Avinu. Now I just want to add that this mahalach that we're developing within the Shitas HaRambam is actually, of course, great debate. The Rambam in Perek Dalet in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Dalet Halacha Dalet, writes that the halacha is that Bizman Hazeh there's no heter of Pilegish, except for a melech. There's no heter of Pilegish Bizman Hazeh. This is the Shitas HaRambam. The Rosh disagrees. I'd like to spend 5 or 10 minutes to discuss the lumdus and the machlokus between the Rambam and the Rosh, and then see some beautiful nafkaminas, and then go on to continue to analyze what is the implication of this alleged relationship of Pilegesh with Yosef and Asnas, and come back to our tzarachiyun of why Dafka Rashi emphasizes the Shtar Ksuba. The Rosh argues with the Rambam in a very, very fascinating Nikuda. Last Thursday night, I've sort of lost track of time, gotten dizzy, but I think last Thursday night I was at a chasana, and so for the first time, your old buddy Johnny, I think a few of your friends, Chaim Anshel Palik, got married last Thursday night, Eric Palik. So for the first time, what I tried to do was be Mekayim Shitas HaRambam that says that the Birchas HaErusin is a Birchas HaMitzvah. What does that mean? The Rambam says that Birchas HaErusin is supposed to be done over Lasiyasa. That you're supposed to make the bracha immediately prior to the Kiddushin. Ad kidei kach, it should be, you shouldn't be mafsik. As much as possible, you shouldn't be mafsik at all. Try not to be mafsik at all. So all the instructions, everything we did before, then we made the bracha, and immediately, right after, the chasam put on the ring. Kemat, nothing was said. That's the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam writes that the bracha is supposed to be made before. The Rosh in Ksuvis is up in arms. The Rosh in Simon Yud Beis is totally up in arms. Asks the Rosh, what? Birchas HaErusin is a Birchas HaMitzvah? What mitzvah is Kedushin? The Rambam counts Kedushin as a mitzvah. Why? Because the Rambam is out, as we are, in our Mahalach tonight, to show that Pilegesh is Asur for a Jew, and the entire relationship, the new transformed relationship between a man and a woman has to be done b'chuppah v'kedushin. Has to be done b'chuppah v'kedushin. Akadei kach, Rabbeinu Ephraim writes, on Asher Nosan Li Elokim Bazeh, b'chuppah v'kedushin. Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Baal Tosos, has these very short Kabbalistic comments on the Parsha, and he writes, b'chuppah v'kedushin. So, Pilegesh is entirely Asur. Says the Rosh, what? That's not true. There's no mitzvah of Kedushin that asurs Pilegesh. Says the Rosh, the halacha is that you could be Mekai. Kedushin's not a mitzvah. The Birchas HaErusin is only a Birchas Sherech V'Hodah. And therefore the Birchas HaErusin could be done even afterwards. It doesn't have to be done over Lasiyasan. And he says you could be Mekai mitzvahs pruer avu with marriage or without marriage, outside of marriage. The Rambam holds no. The Rambam holds that mitzvahs kedushin is about transforming the way in which you have children. That's nekudas hamachlokus between the Rambam and the Rosh. And what comes out is the Rambam holds that's a birchas hamitzvah, and therefore the bracha has to be done over lasiyasan. The Rosh holds no. If you look at the Lashon HaBracha, the Lashon HaBracha doesn't sound like a Birchas HaMitzvah at all. Shasalanu Esarusas Vitilanu Esan Esuvaslanu. All of those things don't sound like a Birchas HaMitzvah. How the Rambam justifies it, there's a Meiri that's beyond our scope right now. But this is the machlokus between the Rambam and the Rosh. Rav Shechter has three beautiful nafkaminas in his sefer. Very also practical nafkaminas between this machlokus between the Rambam and the Rosh. Actually, Rav Shechter has two. I'd like to add a third. The first one I saw from Rav Shmuel Rozovsky. There is a big diyun. I remember Rabbi Willig is very, very machner about this. Once Rabbi Willig was making the Birchas Erisin, and all of a sudden someone put a mic right next to his mouth. Rabbi Willig could speak with his eyes. Rabbi Willig communicates with his eyes. So he moved his eyebrows up and down, and immediately they pulled the microphone back. What was he bothered by? Well, he holds that you can't have a minyan, which makes a lot of sense, it's mistaber, that you can't have a minyan with over a microphone. And there are some who are choshesh that you need a minyan for Birchas Erisin. Who's that? Rav Achoy Gon. The Rosh quotes Rav Achoy Gon that says that you need a minyan for Birchas Erisin. That's a sheet of Rav Achoy Gon. That's brought down by the Rosh. Points out Rav Shmuel Rozovsky in his Chiddushim on Ksuvos, the Rambam doesn't have that. The Rambam never requires a minyan for Birchas Erisin. Birchas Nisun to the Ferish Gemara that you need a minyan. But Birchas Erisin doesn't need a minyan. So if you hold that a microphone messes up a minyan, are you allowed to make the Birchas Erisin over a microphone or not? So Rav Achoy Gon says you're not allowed to put in practical terms. And the Rambam holds no problem. The Rambam doesn't mention the need for a minyan. What's that machlokas? Zakrab Shmuel, beautiful. If you hold that the Birchas Erisin is a what? Is a Birchas HaMitzvah. So no one says we never find that Birchas HaMitzvah needs a minyan. However, if you hold that when it comes to Birchas Erisin, Birchas Erisin is a Birchas Shevach Vahodah, so we know that there are certain Birchas Shevach Vahodah that need a minyan, like Bracha of Hagomel. So within the Rosh, it's possible, as we say in the Yeshivas, to declare whether there's a requirement of the minyan. However, within the Das HaRambam, there's no need for that. Rav Shechter points out, yes?
What's the connection between a microphone and a minyan?
So the argument goes the following. If you need a minyan, the minyan actually has to hear. Almost kuli alma moda today that a microphone doesn't constitute hearing it from the shomea. So if it doesn't constitute hearing from the shomea, so then you run into a problem at best of trei kol lo mishtami. So that's why there are many who will not use a microphone. You have to say the bracha loud though.
So minyan or no minyan, everyone needs to hear it.
Right. No, but here the question is whether the microphone has messed up your need for the minyan. That's the deal.
You should mess up everything.
You mean for the chasen and kala as well? Well, the chasen and kala is so close. Maybe then it wouldn't mess that up. Right. The chasen and kala is so close, then it's probably not a problem. They're mamish right in front of the rug. Another nafkamina is a very, very strange halacha which we follow, and that is that the Chassan doesn't make the brachos. Chassan doesn't make the brachos. Who makes the brachos? The Sadeh Kedushin. How could that be? If it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, it's a very, very big problem. How could the Sadeh Kedushin make the Birchas HaMitzvah for this person? And the Beis Shmuel says, the reason for it, the Ramaz and Simin Lamedal, the Beis Shmuel says the reason for it is because the Chassan might not know. So for that reason, it's an amazing thing. Shelo levayish es hachasim sheni yodeya. It's a very, very powerful idea. And obviously we're so mech on this, we don't make it. So Rav Shechter argues that this halacha itself indicates that we paskin as a birchas shevach vahodah, not a birchas hamitzvah. Because if it's a birchas hamitzvah, then it would be very difficult to understand how it worked. And finally, the most controversial, if you were, fascinating nafkamina, is who chooses the Masadeh Kedushin. If you hold it's a Birchas HaMitzvah of the Chassan, Yesh Lachkar, the Kala's role in this, because that's beyond our scope right now, that depends on how you read certain Rishonim. But if you hold it's a Birchas HaMitzvah of the Chassan, then the Chassan and maybe the Kala choose. But if you hold it's a Birchas Shedach Vodah, so it's everybody else's Bracha, just like the Chassan, so then it's dependent on the community. The community feels that there's some person that represents it best. The president of the shul, or the Rav, whoever it might be, so then in such a case, the Bracha as Rav Shechter argues in the Sefer, the bracha would be his bracha. Okay. So this is the machlokis between the Rambam and the Rosh. So now we understand what's going on between, according to the Rambam, we're not going within the Rosh right now, but according to Rambam, we understand what's going on. What Yaakov Avinu is making sure is that this is not a relationship of Pilegesh. But rather, what is going on is that this is a relationship that represents full-fledged Ishus. And therefore, Menashe and Ephraim are right to be the Mamshichim of Yosef. But if it's not a relationship of full-fledged Ishus, it's a relationship of Kodem Matan Torah, so then in such a case, they're not going to be Rovli. Now, what is the significance of full-fledged Ishus? What does this mean in contrast to Pilegesh? And why does Rashi use the description of Shtar Ksuba? I'd like to continue for the rest of our time tonight to begin to analyze that. What exactly does full-fledged Ishus mean? And the way to deal with that is, this diuk in Rashi is why did they pull out the Shtar Ksuba, and what does it tell us about our perceptions of marriage? Now, the first explanation that I'd like to give of why Shtar Ksuba is a mahalach that I think is muchrach and lamdus. I'd like to argue something strongly against what's become popular today in Hilchos Ksuba. And I think the Musar is correct, whether it's Pshat and Rashi. So I'm convinced that the Sfasemis would say Shasha Pshat and Rashi, and Rav Rosenzweig would say such a Pshat and Rashi. Whether everyone in between would say such a Pshat and Rashi, that I'm not sure. But definitely in Lamdus it makes sense, and Al Pi Chasidus one could definitely, the Sfasemis I think would say such a Pshat as well. There's a very strange, amorphic status of the Ksuba that Tosis and Ksubas on Daf Yudam and Aleph and the Ramban and Ksubas on Daf Kuf Yudam and Aleph discuss. And that is, when it comes to the Ksuba, is the Chiyuv of Ksuba Doraisa or is it the Rabbana? And there are so many Gemaras that seem to go in either direction. So many Gemaras, some Gemaras seem to say Ksuba is Doraisa, some Gemaras seem to say Ksuba is the Rabbana. And the Ramban has an interesting Yisod. The Ramban says the Torah does make a reference to a ksuba because the Torah describes kimoar habesulos, the price of a girl. In the case of an anusa or mefuta, so then the Torah describes as kimoar habesulos, the price of a girl, that you have to pay that price. So we see that there's a price that a man has to give. Says the Ramban, even though there's a mechayev in the Torah itself that says that you have to give a ksuba, but nevertheless, all of the details are only derabbanan. So even though there's a shita of Shimon Gamliel who says that ksuba is doraisa, says Ramban, even Reb Shimon Gamliel who says that ksuba is doraisa is modeh that the amount of tashlumin is kesef medina, not kesef tzuri. Kesef tzuri is the amount that you pay minat Torah. However, the Ramban in ksuba says that you pay kesef medina, you don't pay kesef tzuri. This is the pshat of the Ramban. Tosvos also seems to say something along the lines of the Ramban. Tosvos in Ksuvis on Daf Yudam et Aleph says that we Ashkenazim Ara Yom Hazeh have the minhag to write the Chazi Lichi Midorai, so that you're entitled to a Ksuvah min HaTorah, says Tosvos, because we rely on the Shita of Shimon Gamliel. So Tosvos also points out that it's very, very amorphic. And Tosfos says, we have a minig and we rely on Rav Shimon Gamliel. Not the same sheet of the Ramban and Tosfos, but again, they're struggling with very contradictory Gemaras. The Ramban, it says, this interesting idea that the Mechayim is Doraisa, but all the details are Derabbanan. And Tosfos says that we're so mech to write the Chazi Lichim in Doraisa. So first of all, how do we pass in the Halacha? So in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Ksuba, the Mechaber says that we pass in Ksuba Derabbanan. All the halachos of Ksuba Derabbanan, and therefore we would pay Mikesef Medina and not Mikesef Tzuri. The Ramah writes, quotes this Rabbeinu Tam, and says that there are some who have the minhag to write in their Ksuba the Chazi Lichi Midaraisa. Some have the minhag to write the Chazi Midaraisa. So I just want to analyze this subject halachically before we go on. There have been some, the Sefer Ksuba Kilchasa begins to advocate this very strongly. There's some who've begun to passel Ashkenazim who don't write, who wrote a Ksuba that doesn't say Dechazi Lichimid Araisa. Because the Ramah says that the minhag is to write the Chazi Lichimid Araisa. So therefore, they argue, the Ramah is paskening that we Ashkenazim hold a Ksuba is Doraisa. And if you don't write the Chazi Lichimid Araisa, so then in such a case, then you're writing a Ksuba that's only Kesef Medina, not Kesef Tzuri, and therefore it's Ma'akev. And they have a Bach. That the Bach says that if someone doesn't write the Chazi Lichimid Araisa, even if he generally follows, his family follows the custom of the Chazi Lichimid Araisa, then you only collect the Kesef Medina, Kesef Tzuri. It's a big nafkamina. Kesef Medina is 1/8 of Kesef Tzuri. So therefore there are some, and the Ksuba Kehilchasa quotes it, it's a very good sefer overall, it's an excellent sefer, who says that therefore the Ksuba is going to be, the Ksuba is going to be possible, according to the Bach. However, I would like to argue, Rabosai, that if you read Tosas carefully, and my Rebbe Rav Nemtzal in his Hanhaga clearly agrees with this as well, you would see that Tosas never said that you have to write the Chazi Lichimid Araisa. But rather, Tosas' Lashon is, let me read you his exact words. Tosas' Lashon is, the Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Samchinon Arab Shimon Gamliel. Those who wrote the Chazi Lichimid Araisa, even though there are many Gemars that seem to say the Ksuba is the Rabbanon, are so Mechar Arab Shimon Gamliel, the Kasavar Ksuba the Araisa. But that doesn't mean that you have to write the Chazi Lichimid Araisa. In other words, if the husband decides that he wants to be Mechayim himself, Kesef Tzuri, and not Kesef Medina, so then there is a Sheet of Shimon Gamliel who holds the Ksuba is the Araisa, not the Rabbanon. But Tosas never said that you have to, the Rabbeinu Tam paskens, that's how you have to write the Ksuba. So therefore to say that someone who wrote a Ksuba that said that didn't say the Chazi Lichim Midaraisa, that that Ksuba is possible if he's an Ashkenazi, is very, very difficult. All the Bach said is that if an Ashkenazi writes, does not write the Chazi Lichim Midaraisa, leaves it empty, so in such a case he pays Kesef Medina. So this new-founded Chumrah to pasel Ksubas, that doesn't say the Chazi Lichim Midaraisa is problematic. Remember, I asked him, what does he use? He said, whatever the Chassam brings me, that's what I use. If he's bringing me one that doesn't say it, so then it's going according to the Chaber. It brings me one. So then they're following that minna. But Rabosai, now let's take a step back. Okay, this is the Lamdus. That the Mechayiv might be the Raisa. However, all the details that the Ramban says the Ramban, or according to our reading of Tosos, you could decide to make a Ksuba d'Oraisa, or you can make a Ksuba d'Rabbanan, and the Ramah says that our minhag is to make a Ksuba d'Oraisa. Wow. This stands in such contrast to Hilchas Kedushin. Stands in such contrast to Hilchas Kedushin. Hilchas Kedushin, every single prat is a din d'Oraisa. Every single prat. The Das Ha'ish, the Das Ha'isha, the Edim, everything, there are absolute clear Gidrei D'Oraisa, to the point that we're scared of every Nekuda, if anything that possibly might have gone wrong, we right away do a Kedushin again. Yet in Hilchas Ksuba, there's this general Mechayiv of Kemara B'sulas. But everything else is up to the Minhagim of the Kehilas. It depends on what the Chassan and Kala put in the Ksuba. According to us, Bein the Mechaber, Bein the Ramah. The Ramah just writes that it's a minig to be Mechayiv yourself on a level of Doraisa. But ultimately, at the end of the day, aside from the basic Takanas Chachamim, everything else is up for grabs. Akadei Kata, there's so many Nuskos of Ksuba, Adei Yom Hazeh. Why? So it seems that the Shtar Erisin represents the Mechayiv of Torah Shebiksav, and the Shtar Ksuba represents the Bechina of Torah Shebal Peh. The different Minhagim, different Mesoras. And at the end of the day, in Spain, there were different interactions between husband and wife as there were in Poland. Different mesoras. Even in the relationship, in the nisuin itself, there are different bechinas. In the ksuba itself, the different types of ischayus, the different cultural obligations between the two. So I think the Svas Emes would use this type of lashon of saying that the Shtar Erisin represents the bechina of Torah Shebiksav, while the ksuba represents this idea of different mesoros, all getting towards the same goal, all to the same goal, the responsibility between husband and wife to each other. But the details, the nekudos, that's all of a bechina of Shabbat Peh. That's something that's passed on from dar to dar. And it's interesting, this is clearly drush. This is clearly drush. But it's interesting to note that what is the Shas Katan? Shas Katan is Maseches Ksuvos. The representative of the Masechta that represents the most obtuse, yet at the same time the most challenging of Torah Shabbat Peh is Maseches Ksuvos. Ksuba itself is the most amorphic of all of the Gidrei Torah. All you have is Kimara Besuvos. And why is it? It's because the Mechayiv of Bishleisha is the most amorphic. What was I referring to when that's the part I think Sasemis would say. The part of Rosenzweig is this observation that on the one hand it's a Din Doraisa, but at the same time all the details become extremely, extremely amorphic. If that's so, and this first Mahalach is Al-Pi Drush, if that's so, Yosef HaTzadik, when he pulls out the Shtar Eris and he's showing the Bebechina of the Torah Shebiksav, clear halachas, but those details of the Mesorah of how a husband is supposed to treat his wife and how a wife is supposed to relate to a husband, he's showing him he also has. That's the Shtar Ksuba. That's what the Shtar Ksuba represents. Now, Rabosa, I'd like to, before I tell you what I think is more mukhrach in Rashi, I'd just like to give you a couple of lessons that come out from this yisod. That Shtar Ksuba represents this mesorah of the different details of how a husband is supposed to take care of his wife. So then, it's something that we often have to realize that even within the marriage itself, there's sometimes that we come into marriage with very, very different cultural assumptions. And this is something that is not easy to overcome. It's not easy to overcome. I mean, I'm not talking about someone who has a suffix of what his ksuba should say, whether it should say the chazalich midaraisa, svardi, and ashkenazi. Even someone who, at first glance, it seems that your backgrounds are very, very similar, there's really a tremendous amount that needs to be worked out. I found the story shocking, but Rabbi Abramov, who's very much involved in Taras HaMishpacha and Shalom Bayis, he has one of the largest Taras HaMishpacha organizations in the world. They're mechanich every year, hundreds of Kala teachers and Chassan teachers. So he told us the story, which I find almost impossible to believe. But the more and more I look inside of myself, even though the situation itself seems sensational, but at the same time, we ourselves do it sometimes. And that is, he met with a chassan, helped marry him off, and then during the Shev Brachas, he saw him and he saw that something was bothering him. And he said, what's bothering you? He said, no, that's okay. But he saw it was still something really, really, really weighing on him. And he said, please tell me, what's wrong? He said to him, Rebbe, I'm not sure if this is going to work. This is really terrible. He says, what's wrong? He says, she rolls and I fold. She rolls the toothpaste and I fold the toothpaste. Actually, I tried to pay attention before I came to shir today. What do? I just like grab it in the middle. But either way, she rolls and I fold. And he was totally, the chassan was totally thrown off. Now, I find that mind-boggling, but sometimes that's something for some people that's really, really hard to adjust to. And that's something that's constantly, constantly needs work to realize that the ksuba represents being mitzaref, finding that type of equilibrium. My wife's family, they tell the following story. They say that One of my wife's uncles, he's a real bentor. He's very neat. And my wife's grandparents are very, very homey. Everybody's always in their house. They have a beautiful home. And they're not always medagdic to put everything away because the house is constantly full of people. So one time after they got married, my wife's uncle and aunt, during the summer, they were away in the bungalow colony. It was right after Sheva Brachos. And it was Shabbos morning, and my aunt called in our grandmother, and she said, "Look at this." Now, it happened to be that in the bungalow colonies, and this is not a healthy situation, I have to say, but in the bungalow colonies, they're often families that are living wall to wall next to each other, and you could hear what's going on, a conversation, one bungalow, what's going on in the next. So she didn't even know, but the next door neighbor was listening, and she called her into the room, and she showed her something, and the neighbor hears my grandmother say, "Well, he has other redeeming qualities." So the neighbor comes in. This is a real Baal Bat Shemaisa. The neighbor comes in a few hours later and says, "I heard that there's something wrong. Is there anything I could help?" So my grandmother didn't know what she was referring to. She said, "I heard you say something about, you know, I'm an expert in Shalom Bayis. I heard you say something about him that the Chassan has other redeeming qualities." So she still couldn't remember that. She said, "Oh, my daughter brought me into the room to show me that her husband makes the bed. And no one in our family often makes the bed. So I said to her, he has other redeeming qualities. But those other redeeming qualities sometimes are things that we really, really need to work on to sort of overcome those differences in background." So that's Nakuda number one that I think is something that the Ksuba really brings out. The idea that the exact details of how you're going to hammer those things out require different cultural assumptions, different assumptions in background, and require sometimes some forethought. And then there are some things that are just lifelong struggles. I'll tell you, I like it warmer in the house, and my wife likes it colder. And we still haven't found the total solution how to be miyashig that. But as long as we're trying and we're realizing that there are some things that are going to be really, really different between us, and some things are more significant than just rolling and folding, then in such a case, then there's a fighting chance. But if a person doesn't internalize the fact that the Torah takes into account in Hilchos Ksuba that there are going to be different mechayvim and different cultural assumptions of what the relationship is going to be, so then in such a case, then it often runs the risk of being doomed to failure. Shot number two. Why does Rashi say Shtar Ksuba? So Rabbeinu, I think I finally understood this Rashi. The Medrash HaGadol adds two words. In Emes Lamita, what is Rashi's Kavana? I think the Yisod Al Pi Chassidus is correct, that we said about Shtar Eres and Shtar Ksuba. But Emes Lamita, what is the Kavana? The Medrash HaGadol, thanks to Rav Kasher, adds two words. The Medrash HaGadol says, "Biksuba v'kedushin l'fi shatam." The Ksuba and the Kedushin according to its time. Adds Rav Kasher in Ois Katan Samachay, "Hera lo shtar ha'nesuin shayedarkam ba'osa azman lihinase bo." Remember Rabbeinu Ephraim? Rabbeinu Ephraim said, "Ashenasam li elokim bazeh is ayde chuppah v'kedushin." Says the Sefer Chemas HaChemda that the pshat in the Medrash was that in those days, you know how they did Nesuin? They did Nesuin with the Ksuba. If you think about it, if you analyze Hilchos Nesuin, there's no makar in the Gemara of what Nesuin is. The Gemara just describes Nesuin as Maser Shluchei Av L'Shluchei Abav. There's no makar in Nesuin. And hence, all of the Eidim all over the place. Eidim Badekin, Eidim this, Eidim that. Because it's many Shitas HaRishonim exactly what constitutes Nesuin. There's no clear makar of Nesuin. Why is there no clear makar of what Nesuin is? Very pashut. Because Nesuin is about the idea that the husband and wife are acting as husband and wife together. So you could look at it that the Badekin represents that, as it once upon a time did, by Rivka. Or you could say paying her into the houses. Or Chuppah represents that. That's all part of the whole Machlokas Rishonim we have and what defines Nisuin. Comes along the Medrash HaGadol and says, Lefi Shatan, it was the Ksuba. Because what is the ultimate expression of the responsibility of the husband to the wife? What is the ultimate thing that differentiates between the relationship of Pilegesh and the relationship of Ish v'Isha? It's Chuppah v'Kedushin, not just Kedushin, because Kedushin is a moment, but rather represents the longitudinal component of Ksuba. The longitudinal is Chayvus of Ksuba. That is the ultimate antithesis of Pilegesh. That's Lefi Shaitan. It was Nisuin. In those times, the Ksuba, what represented the Nisuin. And that's what Rashi means, and it fits beautifully in the Lashon Rabbeinu Ephraim as well, b'din Chuppah v'Kiddushin. Now we truly understand what the difference between Pilegesh and Ksuba is. Again, I'm working within Shitas HaRambam, but I don't think that's a bad thing. Now we truly understand what is the difference between the two. Pilegesh is a relationship that might be actually a fully loving relationship. You know, I don't take away from the fact that it's possible for a boyfriend and girlfriend to live on university campus and really, really care for each other. I'm not talking about a teenage relationship. I'm talking about people in graduate school, 25, 26 years old. It's possible. But that relationship is a relationship that's only in the here and now. What Yaakov Avinu is looking for is that Yosef HaTzadik's relationship with Osnas, if Ephraim and Menashe are going to be a Hemshech, they have to be the product of a relationship that's not only in the here and now, but a relationship that represents the longitudinal component of the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael. And that's why Yosef HaTzadik also pulls out the Ksuba, not just the Shtar Erisin. Shtar Erisin is the first step. But the Ksuba represents not only the Yichud HaYisha, Pikadusha, but rather it also represents that sense of responsibility. And until the husband and wife express that, then Ephraim and Menashe cannot be that Hemshech HaDoros. Because all then they are a product of is a product of a here and now. So in my nafkamina, in practical terms, how does this hakpada of the ksuba apply to us practically? So let's start with dating. Two particular examples in dating. Let's go on to married life. Baruch Hashem, it worked out fine for me. But I have a married friend that told me something after I got married that Rav Aaron Kahn said, that I don't think I gave enough thought about it when I was dating. Baruch Hashem, looking back, it turned out totally fine, but I wish someone nevertheless had told this to me. And that is, Rav Kahn, one of the boys, asked him, Rebbe, give me one regal achas. Give me kol haTorah kula on regal achas. Tell me what I should be looking for in a girl. So I'll tell you what Rabbi Braunschweigel said. Rabbi Braunschweigel always used to refer back so the chesed of Rivka, he always used to tell us, he said, before you get engaged, I'm going to bring my camel, and I'll test her out. Rabbi Braunschweigel always used to emphasize the bechina of chesed, which is extremely, extremely important. So that was what I always heard. Rav Kahn said something else. Rav Kahn said, obviously here, different rabbeim will say different things, which is fine. You have to learn for... Rav Kahn said, you have to ask yourself, what type of mother is she going to be? And when we're 21, 22 years old, and we're thinking about the girl, we might be thinking about her davening, about her learning. We're not talking about people who are only focused, the Antiochus Shebo, the Chitzonius Shebo, but people who are focusing on real Ruchnius. But sometimes, even when we think about Ruchnius, we think of Ruchnius in the here and now. Think about Ruchnius in the here and now. We don't think about Ruchnius from the longitudinal perspective. The notion of Mesorah. And what type of couple are you going to be when you're both 80 years old, Amir Tzasha? Before we get engaged, that's something to think about. That's something to think about. And that's what Ksuba represents. Another Nikuda often is that sometimes people get caught up in real Mishigas. In other words, they're worried about the fact that their in-laws have this particular social stripe And for that reason, they'll allow that to come in their relationship between them and the girl. That's a terrible byproduct of someone who's not living only in the bigger picture. He's living only in the here and now, and he's not looking at it. In the big picture, most of these things are really not important. What's another example of the lesson of Ksuba, of looking at things in the big picture, not only looking at the here and now for married couples? So one of the things that many of us are struggling with, and I struggled with it a lot during Shana Rishona as well, and something I've already discussed with many of the chasanim, if you will, here, is learning at night. Learning in the Beis Medrash at night, or learning in the apartment at night. And on the one hand, it should be a tremendous tension. We want to become the biggest masmidim we can. We want to become the biggest talmidei chachamim we can. And we have to have those shaifas. But at the same time, we have to realize that that growth in Torah and Avodas Hashem doesn't happen overnight. My favorite vort that I like to say over about spiritual growth is tzaddik ha-tamar yifrach. A tzaddik is like the tamar tree. And a tamar tree takes, its roots take a long, long time to grow. To grow into the ground, to produce peros. But the roots are growing very deep in the ground. Someone who wants to become a Talmud Chacham, it's not going to happen overnight. Tafka, that's one of the big Yitzrei Hara in our yeshiva, especially when you hear great Talmidei Chacham who have Kol HaTorah Kula on their fingertips, even some of them who are young Talmidei Chachamim, and everybody wants to be like them. And I know of someone who had a nervous breakdown trying to imitate a Baki Vashas. Why? Because we're not supposed to imitate them. We're supposed to be what our kochos are, not what their kochos are. And therefore, there shouldn't be that pressure that right now we have to accomplish everything. What should the pressure be in Shana Aleph? Shana Rishana? What's the pressure in Shana Rishana? The pressure is to make sure that the bayis itself, there's a sense of working together. If your wife is already going to feel that you're not home and you're not around and you're not available, then I guarantee that in the end it will cause more bittul Torah. I guarantee it. In the end it will cause much more bittul Torah. So right now the responsibility in Shana Rishona is to make sure that we're available emotionally. And then in the long run, once one's wife feels that you're available emotionally, so then in such a case you'll be able to learn much more. I was a little stunned this past Shabbos, another example. I was a little stunned this past Shabbos, this is why you was definitely overstimulated. There were over Shabbos finals. There were 500 people. Yeah, it was too much. It was nice. It was very beautiful. So I also wanted to meet my Talmidim's wives. Many of you know some of them. I wanted to speak with the wives. So I sat with 5 or 6 wives, and I spoke with them. And I realized, wow, I know nothing about women's chinuch. That was one thing. Rabina claims that he could read men's faces. He says he can't figure out girls for the life of him. Says he could read a man's face. By the way, it's a Perfershah book that just came out. Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called Blink, where they've done studies where there is a koach in being able to size up situations. I'm not saying he could read people's faces, but there is a koach. Anyhow, so I was talking with the women, and one of the women said something that pained me very, very deeply. And she said, one of the wives said, I asked, how are things going in the Heights? I said, well, one of the women said, but I'm feeding guys every Shabbos. Non-stop, she says. I'm just feeding guys every Shabbos. Happens to be, I don't know who her husband is. I can't find the guy to mamisha hang him. But that's mamish terrible. That's mamish terrible. She feels like Shabbos, there isn't any sense of it's just her and her husband together. And that's something that's extreme. And I was shocked. I was shocked. I didn't know that such a phenomenon exists. I think my wife and I, now we have talmidim over constantly. Sometimes my wife says, the Shabbos and no guys. Still, and we're married, Baruch Hashem, 15 years. But when we were married, we didn't live in the Heights, so that was a different situation. But we were married, I think we had guests 5 or 6 Shabbos out of the entire Shana Rishona. Now, I'm not saying that that's the only way to do it, but that a pregnant young wife should look me in the eye and say that I feel like I'm constantly feeding the guys, then that means that there's something that we're teaching that's wrong. That if she doesn't feel that Shabbos is a time to be alone with her husband, and we spoke about last time, we spoke about the whole notion of intimacy, that intimacy is not only about physical intimacy, but intimacy means being alone with another person. That's what Shabbos is about. So then there's something wrong that we have to work on. So these two bechinas of looking at things longitudinally, in other words, the husband says, and he might not have done anything wrong in the way he presented to her, he just asked her. But at the end of the day, the resentment builds up. If the husband constantly is suggesting that they should have people over, constantly suggesting, so then in such a case, he's not looking at the relationship from the longitudinal perspective. He's not looking at his responsibilities of the ksuba to make sure that she feels that she's entirely taken care of. And that requires an ability to step back and realize, remember, we'll say that where we're being zocha to build is something that's ledoros. And just like Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef HaTzadik and says, these children are a product of your relationship. Their ability to be mamshich the mesorah, their ability to be mamshich the mesorah is dependent on what you and your wife's relationship was. Was it a relationship that itself reflected that, or is it a relationship that's in the here and now? And sometimes, even in ruchnius, our relationship with our wives is in the here and now. But if it's in the here and now, it's not long term, then ultimately, then it could breed a resentment to the point that when we're 50, 60 years old, so then we're not doing our job being mamshich the mesorah. But Ezras Hashem, we will have the koach to be able to have the foresight and the forethought to be able to think whether that our relationships are not only living in the here and now, both in Ruchnius and in Gashmius, and that there are times that when we speak to our wives, we don't only think about the issue in the present, but we think about what's going to manifest in the future. We haven't even spoken about chinuch. In chinuch, this is a notion that comes up constantly, not to only think about how to be mechanic the child in the moment, but to be mechanic as well, thinking about the asid. But even in our relationship, in our Shana Rishona, in our second year, in building that home, what we're doing now is we're putting down that tree, we're putting down those roots, and the way the roots are going to grow, it's going to be a lot harder to switch it now. And for this wife, that she feels that her husband hasn't given her that alone time, that downtime, so then that's dangerous. Be'ezer Hashem will have the siyata d'shmaya to be able to create the relationship of the ksuba. We'll back to normal.
Am I putting it? Hey, there, I'll copy it down. Yeah, who's the one that's titles it?